I'm talking to you today about the author Ernest Hemingway and Chicago baseball mysteries. I'm Sharon Hamilton, and I'm chair of the Century Committee, if you haven't met me. So Hemingway was born in 1899 in Oak Park, just outside of Chicago. This was a great time to be a baseball fan. As you know, while Hemingway was growing up, the Chicago Cubs were either in the World Series as contenders or they were winning the World Series. And it wasn't just the Cubs. This was a city that kept on winning. As we know, the White Sox were also champion teams while Hemingway was a boy in 1906 and in 1917. Chicago was home as well to some of the best players ever to play the game. And these are the baseball cards, so shout out to the baseball cards committee for Joe Tinker, Johnny Evers, and Frank Chance from 1910. And I took this photo last weekend in Cooperstown, so these are the three they have on display at the National Baseball Museum and Hall of Fame. This was also the city of Mordecai Brown, one of the best pitchers of all time, and those are his shoes, which are also in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I love that. Again, I took that picture last weekend. And there's a picture of shoeless Joe Jackson. So this is a baseball city with some amazing baseball players. So was Hemingway a Cubs or a White Sox fan? Any guesses? Bill Birch said both, and he is correct. He was a fan of both. And actually, this is something where Sabre researchers could help me, because I would love to know how common that was. How common was it to be a fan of both teams at the beginning of the century? Now my understanding, as someone not from here, I'm from Canada, but I understand you have to choose. I think that's correct now. Is that a polite way of putting it? But I would like to know if at the beginning of the century, in those 20 years when Hemingway was growing up from 1899 until 1920, how common was it to be a fan of both teams? For sure we know that Hemingway was a fan of both teams. And we partly know that owing to Sabre research. So Steve Gitchier, who unfortunately isn't in the room, he's signing books, he's written a wonderful article for Nine about Hemingway and baseball. I definitely recommend it to you. And he talks about the proof we have, the evidence we have, and it's strong evidence, that Hemingway was a fan of both the Cubs and the White Sox when he was growing up. We know he was a huge fan of Mordecai Brown, and we also know he was a fan of Nick Altrock, who was a White Sox pitcher. And he actually mentions Nick Altrock in two of his bullfighting books, believe it or not, and he uses him as an analogy of perfect sportsman, just the perfect athlete. So we know he loved both. So what I'm going to talk to you this morning about, or this afternoon, seeing as this is a research society, and I thought when I was putting together my talk, what would interest you folks the most are what are some Hemingway baseball mysteries? What are some things that we don't know yet that you could help figure out? And that occurred to me as something that you might like to explore. So here's mystery number one, Hemingway's Chicago baseball scrapbook. This is a digitized 2 pages from Ernest Hemingway's baseball scrapbook. This is kept in the Key West Art and Historical Society. And all I know about it is on the screen right now behind me, and from their description that accompanies this, if you look online, it says in their online description that this is a composition notebook used as a scrapbook by Ernest Hemingway, titled Baseball Album, Property of Ernest Hemingway. The notebook contains 50 ruled pages on which Hemingway glued newspaper magazine clippings of baseball pictures and articles. Particular attention were paid to the 1910 and 1911 Chicago Cubs. There are some loose clippings in the back of the notebook. Now, I was in Key West earlier this year and I asked if I could see this scrapbook, and they said that they're renovating their archival, the area that holds their archives, and so they weren't allowing the researchers to look at anything. I don't think anyone has ever documented what is in here. So if you're a Florida-based Sabre member, pay attention to when the Key West Art and Historical Society opens up again. For goodness sake, go in and look at every page of this scrapbook and write an article for Sabre, because I think we would all benefit from knowing what's in this scrapbook. It would tell us for sure what games and players interested Ernest Hemingway, and it might even tell us what games he went to. And remember, this is his scrapbook, so there could be annotations. He might have written great game or whatever beside the article, right? So we'll only know if someone goes. So here's mystery two. What could Ernest Hemingway have written in an essay he owned about the Black Sox? What's not a mystery is how Hemingway felt about the Black Sox scandal. And I've written about this for Sabre, and if you're curious, that's my article on the screen. Ernest Hemingway and the Black Sox trial. We know from his letters that Ernest Hemingway was pretty disgusted by the Black Sox scandal. He bet on the 1919 White Sox to win the World Series. And you know, Hemingway always held a grudge, so he was not cool with the fact that that turned out to be a scandal. So there's no mystery about how he felt about the scandal. But here's the mystery. We know now what books Hemingway owned in his personal library. There's a complete list, and it's available. I've got the link on the screen, and also if you're interested, you can email me and I can send it to you. This is the list of the books that were in Hemingway's libraries when he died. So there was a Key West library of books that ended up in the John F. Kennedy Library, and there were also books in the Finca Vahia, his home in Cuba, which are still there. And I think there's also books in Ketchum, Idaho. I mean, the guy just owned a lot of books. But this, there is a list. He owned a lot of baseball books, and I've just put a few sample titles on the screen. But basically, there's a lot. And so I think right here, there's quite a lot for Sabre researchers, and especially if you happen to be based in Ketchum or Cuba or Boston, go and look at the books. What did he write in the margins? What did he underline? Hemingway did write in his books. When I first contacted the Finca Vahia in Cuba to ask about this baseball mystery, what's written in the book that I'm going to show you, they said that they didn't know because the book hasn't been digitized and basically you have to go and look at it in person. But they said, don't be surprised if what you find are grocery lists and cockfighting scores, because apparently those are things he wrote in his books a lot. So just because he wrote in the book doesn't mean it's about baseball. But wouldn't it be neat if someone went through all the baseball books that Hemingway had and found where are their markings? Where did he put a star in the margin? So this is a book that we know Hemingway actually owned. This is one of the books in his library. And as you'll see from the title of the book, Say It Ain't So, Joe, the title essay is about the Black Sox scandal. The essay that's in this book was Remember the Black Sox from the Saturday Evening Post, and John Lardner was the author. Hemingway had this book not because he bought it. He would have been given this book. And the reason he would have been given this book is that it's an anthology of sports writing, and Hemingway has a piece in it on bullfighting. So he was a sports writer himself. So he owned this book because the publisher would have given him a copy, but man, I would love to know, like, did he write Shoeless Joe, You Bum, you know, in the book beside the essay? And again, until someone goes and looks at this book, which is in Cuba, in his personal library there, we won't know. I don't know what, if anything's written on that essay. Here's baseball mystery three. The baseball bit idiom off base. Here's what's not a mystery. Hemingway used this baseball idiom in his 1929 novel, A Farewell to Arms. And this is the passage where it appears. That was not what you did. That was what you did. You died. You did not know what it was about. You never had time to learn. They threw you in and told you the rules, and the first time they caught you off base, they killed you. So we know that he used this. Now, first of all, what makes this baseball idiom usage so dark? Why is he thinking about baseball and death? My own personal opinion on this is that he's thinking about Ray Chapman. That happened while Hemingway was living in the United States. Of course, it's unusual for someone to die in a major league game. So I think that was feeding his creative imagination. But the other question is he the first person to use that baseball idiom in a novel? So I reached out to a Hemingway researcher for help on this, someone who does research on Hemingway quotations. His name is John Hargrove. And he did some research for me on this. And he said, the quick answer is no. Hemingway does not appear to be the first novelist to use this baseball idiom. It appears in sports writing quite early, around the turn of the century, and it also appears in nonfiction. And he found this lovely example for me from a book on Africa from 1907. The hippo heard us, and like a baseball player caught off base, tried to get back to the river. That's fantastic. The hippo is not the image that comes to mind with baseball, but there you go, someone made this. So there's an early example in nonfiction. He also found an example from a novel of 1929. "Poor kid," said Mark, looking down at her with tenderness, "what a long way off base you are." And he found another example from earlier in the 20s as well. So here's the question for Sabre researchers. How many people were using this off base in creative writing, in fiction, before Hemingway used it in 1929? And is it possible that Hemingway helped popularize this expression in the American language? It looks like it was not used very often before 1929 in fiction, and A Farewell to Arms was a best-selling novel. So Hemingway may have helped this expression take hold in the American language. Mystery number four. These are Hemingway Chicago baseball photos, and I'm going to show you the photos themselves. These are in the John F. Kennedy Library and Museum in Boston. They all appear to be from one game, and the library labels them as being from 1915. That's pretty much all they know. I even asked them if they know for sure whether those were Hemingway baseball photos, because his father Clarence was also a huge baseball fan, and he could have taken the photos too. They said their best guess is those were Hemingway photos, and the reason that's their guess is because they were made from negatives donated to the library by Mary Hemingway, Hemingway's fourth wife. So since they ended up in Hemingway's personal collection, not that of his father, they think Hemingway took those photos. Next question was, where were the photos taken? The JFK Library, when I took those pictures, didn't know. They said they thought maybe Comiskey Park, but they weren't sure. So I reached out to a Sabre researcher, Sean Calogay, and I don't know if he's here. Yes, he's here. There you go, Sabre researcher. And he helped me with this because he's also a Hemingway and baseball researcher, and he's also based here in Chicago, whereas I'm in Canada. So he knew that the Chicago History Museum had some good digitized photos, and he went and looked and made this. So the comparison on the screen behind me, the one photo with the kind of blurry photo is Hemingway's, the clearer photo is from the Chicago History Museum. And he said you can see the scoreboard clearly in both photos. So Sean said, looks to me like that's the same scoreboard, right? So that's the Hemingway photo, and that's the one in the Chicago History Museum, both pictures from 1915. Then Hemingway also had a photo where you can clearly see windows. So again, Sean took a photo from 1915 in the Chicago History Museum, compared it, and he said, really, that looks like it's Comiskey Park, right? So I think we can be fairly certain that it's Comiskey Park. What mystery still remains? What game? Who are the players? So if you're a Boston-based Sabre member and you have the time, go to the library. It'd be great if someone could look really carefully at the prints they have there, especially if they could look under microscopic equipment. Ask for permission to work with one of the archivists there. Can we figure out what that scoreboard says? Can we figure out what game Hemingway was at? And therefore, can we figure out some of the players? And here's my last baseball mystery for you today. Chicago baseball games Hemingway could have attended. Did Hemingway attend this game, September 4th, 1916? We know Hemingway was a huge fan of both Mordecai Brown and Christy Mathewson. When he was a kid, he ordered baseball action photos of both men. So we absolutely know he admired these pictures. Did he go to see their final match? It was here in Chicago. We don't know. Did he ever go see the Chicago Whales? Hemingway was here in 1914 and 15. Did he see a Federal League game? We don't know. Did he see the Chicago American Giants? Did he know about the Negro Leagues? Hemingway was living in Chicago, not Oak Park, Chicago, in 1920 and 1921. Did he go to see a Negro Leagues game? And in 1917, did he go to see the World Series Game 1, which was again also here? Here's something we know for sure. He wrote about that game. It appears in his short story, Crossing the Mississippi, which is in the Nick Adams stories. Nick thought of the World Series game going on in New York. He thought of Happy Felch's home run in the first game he had watched at the White Sox Park. And he goes on to describe that play in the story, and the way he describes it is accurate. It's accurate to period descriptions, it's accurate to the box score. But did he see it in person? We don't know. Where are some possible places we could look for answers to these mysteries? The Hemingway Letters Project. I don't know how many of you are familiar with this, but this is something that is underway now. They're on volume 5, it's just been published, out of a projected 17. I know. Hemingway wrote a lot of letters, and he was famous quite early. He was famous in his early 20s, so people were saving his letters. And the goal of the project is to publish every single known letter of Ernest Hemingway. They've already covered the period when he was living in Oak Park in Chicago, but of course later letters may show up and reflect back on his childhood here, right? We don't know what's going to show up in these volumes, so I would say pay attention to these volumes and look for the word baseball. The Toby and Bretty Bruce collection of Ernest Hemingway at Penn State, that was just purchased in 2021. It hasn't even been cataloged yet. Hemingway was a huge pack rat, and the collection here is based on stuff he was keeping in storage trunks in his favorite bar, Sloppy Joe's in Key West. That's for, I mean, the guy kept everything. So who knows what they have? So again, if you happen to be close to Penn State, go there, see what they have, what's baseball related. And then here, the Hemingway Archives at the Oak Park Public Library. And this is, Sean just wrote a great piece about Hemingway in a game we know he attended in 1918 because the ticket stub is here in the Oak Park Archive. What else do they have that's baseball related? What else can we figure out by going through that collection? So those are my baseball mysteries and challenges for you. If you want to know more about baseball and Ernest Hemingway, I'm actually giving a talk for a whole hour on this on Sunday at the Oak Park Public Library. So if you're free, come. And if not, I understand they are planning to record that. And so there should be a link available later. So if you're interested in hearing more, you can email me and I'll send you the link to that recording once it's up. And that's my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the talk. I just wanted to mention one other connection between Hemingway and baseball, which you may know about, but it's too good to pass up. In one of Donald Honig's books, there's a long interview with Billy Herman, the second baseman for the Cubs, and then the Dodgers. And Herman tells how in the spring of 1942, the Dodgers were training in Havana, and Hemingway was hanging out at the ballpark a lot. I see you do remember it. And there's an extraordinary account of an evening of some of the ballplayers at the Hemingways, which culminated with a boxing match between Hemingway and Hugh Casey. And when Hugh Casey got the better of him, Hemingway challenged him to a duel. So it was a wonderful story.
That's a great story, and thank you for sharing it. Hemingway stories often end with fist fights. And I mentioned that Steve Gitchier, his article on Hemingway and baseball in 9, he talks about that time that Hemingway hosted the Dodgers when they were in Cuba, and there it was a legendary fight in his house. Yes. Oh, yes, yeah, sorry.
Did Hemingway play baseball at Oak Park River Forest High School? And my other question would be, what interaction did he have with Chicago sports writers that you're aware of?
So those are great questions. Again, someone who's Chicago-based, and maybe the Oak Park Archives would be another good place for, I don't know if he played organized baseball. He definitely played baseball, but he wasn't very good at it. And the reason is that Hemingway actually had very poor eyesight. And that's what, those of you who may remember, that there's all sorts of famous things, the movie Hemingway and Love and War. He volunteered as a Red Cross ambulance driver in World War I, and the reason is he didn't qualify for military service because his eyesight was so bad. So he wasn't, but did he play on a school team even with his bad eyesight? I don't know the answer to that. And then your other question was about local sports teams?
What kind of interaction did he have with local sports writers, if any?
With the local sports?
Sports writers, yeah.
Sports writers. He was a huge Lardner fan, and I understand, Ring Lardner, he was a huge Ring Lardner fan, and I understand that Dan Anderson, who's a Sabre member, is writing about that relationship right now. But he would have been following other sports writers as well, and he subscribed to Sporting News. So we know that he was also reading the stuff that was coming out of St. Louis and really admired those writers.
Okay, thank you.
I've got the 5 minutes left sign, so I can still have more questions. Excellent. Go ahead.
So you had said in the presentation about being caught off base that Ray Chapman was kind of weighed heavily on Hemingway. What is it that led you to that conclusion?
Mostly, I mean, I don't have any hard evidence, but usually sports metaphors, and especially baseball metaphors, are really happy. They're almost always metaphors about good things and light things. It is really weird to encounter a baseball metaphor that's dark. And the baseball metaphor where he uses off-base in A Farewell to Arms, it's actually in the darkest moment of the entire novel, and he links it to death. So that's why that's just a suspicion. It's just my theory. But he was here when Ray Chapman died. He was here in America. It was before he moved to France. And that would have been such a huge, devastating event for his generation, right? Ray Chapman was so loved. The church was overflowing when he died. So I don't have any hard evidence for that theory, but I think that in his creative imagination, mm-hmm. he was affected by that death, and that's why we get off base and someone dying in the metaphor. Just a theory, though. Yeah.
The other popular sport in that period was boxing. Did Hemingway have any interest in boxing?
Hemingway was a huge boxing fan. Yeah, that's your question about boxing? Yes, he was a huge boxing fan his whole life. And of course, as you know, there's overlap because boxing matches were also often, they took place in baseball stadiums. So, but yes is the answer.
So my question is kind of a tangent off from Hemingway. It's more to Fitzgerald. There's that scene in The Great Gatsby where Nick Carraway meets the person who fixes the 1919 World Series. I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on that, on that scene in literature, and you know, if that sheds any light on Hemingway, Hemingway's baseball metaphors?
That one's interesting because Hemingway knew Fitzgerald and they were friends. Fitzgerald was also a huge baseball fan growing up, just like Hemingway. And both of them end up using baseball in their novels because they both loved baseball. So Fitzgerald has the allusion to the Black Sox scandal in The Great Gatsby, but he's also, if you read This Side of Paradise, which is his very first novel, mm-hmm. he talks about kids in the playground having to decide who's the better pitcher, Brown or Mathewson. Oh. And so that's fantastic, right? There's not necessarily a connection between the fact that they both ended up using baseball metaphors doesn't necessarily come out of their friendship. They both loved baseball, but they could have sat around and talked about it, and they could have said, hey, I'm going to throw in this thing in my book. What do you think? So, and Hemingway did it till the end of his life. There's lots of baseball metaphors in Old Man and the Sea, for example. So in the 1950s, he's still using baseball in his books. Thanks. Good question. Right. Yeah.
Hi, Sharon. I know that Hemingway lived and worked in Toronto, and where he wrote for the Toronto Star. Is there any connection between baseball in Toronto and Hemingway when he was there?
That's a really good question. Off the top of my head, I don't remember him reporting. Of course, he would have had to be here going to professional games that were not Major League Baseball games at this time, right? Hemingway lived in Toronto in 1920 and in 1923. Did he go to a professional game somewhere in the area? Maybe. I don't know. I haven't read something on that yet. He was also covering still things in Chicago at that time. And actually, he was even reporting on, he wrote for the Toronto Star about bullfighting in Spain, because he had just been in Spain before he moved back to Toronto. So, but I'll keep my eyes open, and please do that as well, because I don't remember reading any baseball coverage from the Toronto years, but I also haven't read everything yet, so maybe it's there and I just haven't seen it yet.
Thank you.
Good question. I think that may be it. Thank you very much.